I went to the woods because I wished to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life and see if I could not learn what it had to teach, and not, when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. So wrote Henry David Thoreau in 1845 when he began the then radical experiment in simple living that resulted in his best-known work, Walden. As many of us now find ourselves suddenly uprooted from our familiar environments, isolated from our neighbors and friends, at home, perhaps with some unexpected time on our hands, and many of us deeply worried about what comes next, is there solace to be found in a long-dead romantic writer from 175 years ago? Robert Thor Thorson certainly thinks so. When he's not teaching geology at the University of Connecticut, Thorson reads and writes on Thoreau. Recently, he meditated on the idea of what Thoreau might teach us about social distancing. Thor Thorson joins us now. Welcome to the 8 o'clock buzz.
Yeah, hi. Glad to be here.
So, certainly people in the 19th century were no strangers to epidemics. Cholera, smallpox, typhus, yellow fever were all rampant during Thoreau's lifetime. Did he ever write specifically about disease outbreaks?
Yes, in Walden, there's actually three or four quotes that deal with the whole idea of the current pandemic. He specifically mentions scarlatina, but he also talks about how, or scarlet fever, but he also talks about the general idea that ideas can spread like epidemics and pandemics, and some may not be so good.
What were some of the ideas that he felt were not good?
Well, he was a real strong critic of a sort of a mindless consumer economy pushing forward that is serves itself mainly and enslaves people in living ways that he didn't think were very good. You have to remember, he's just a young idealist writing at this point, years later, he sort of understands the system a little better, but his points are well taken and well expressed in Walden.
Now, you write that Thoreau may have viewed the current disruptions that we're experiencing in our economy, many of which are causing some serious privations to people who are maybe out of work or things like that. But you say that it might be almost a necessary corrective. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know that I used the word necessary. Perhaps I did. The basic idea is that I don't know where to get on this. Of course, I'm isolated in my house. I'm having social deprivation. I have colleagues who have this. I know people who are threatened by it. I have a son in a group home that we're very concerned about, and on, just like most of the people across the country. We're very concerned about the pandemic and its implications. Having said that, I'm always looking for, following Thoreau, trying to be optimistic about something. And one of the things that we can be optimistic, not to compensate for the serious impacts that everyone is having, but sort of as consolation prizes. Is the air is cleaner? There's less traffic on the roads. We're burning less fuel. The economy is experiencing a correction, and it's in a direction that I think is a good idea, and I think that Henry Thoreau says it outright. That the mass of us are busy pursuing our things, without pausing in solitude to give enough time to think about what really matters and what we should really be doing. So I'll just leave it at that for now.
So what was Thoreau's motivation for leaving Concord, New Hampshire and going to live by Walden Pond?
Well, first of all, Concord is a town in New England. It's not really a village. It's a geographic area, and Walden Pond is in Concord, and it's only about a mile and a quarter south of the village center, a typical market village economy in the mid 19th century. And Thoreau, when he published Walden, was actually living in a big yellow house on Main Street. But when Walden was written, he moved out to this and built a small cabin for himself that he's famous for. And moving out there was never, the goal was not to move away from society. He did not go into the wilderness. He did not live a life of privation. There are constant jokes about his mother doing his laundry, and he's over at Emerson's house for the evening. And he's coming and going to town regularly. And when out at Walden, he is he is visiting with the fishermen and the woodcutters and landowners and farmers. So he lived quite a social life when he was at Walden Pond. In fact, he hoed beans on an experimental communal agriculture, if you like, in full view of the road, and made himself as visible as possible. So he really didn't go into the wilderness, but what he did do was he woke up with the morning on the sunrise on the lake. He spent a lot of time alone in the mornings writing and thinking and contemplating. And that remove he found to be very effective in deciding who he was so that he could have a better relationship with society. You need to know who you are before you can join a society. It was his main point. You can't just let society determine who you are.
No, I mean, you know, Walden's, Thoreau's message in Walden is the idea of sort of living simply, you know, communing with nature. You know, how much of that is possible for everyone to do when we have a global population of 8 billion people? And is that a sustainable lifestyle given the number of people we have on the planet and the finite resources upon it?
Yes and no. I think you can find nature anywhere. You can sit in an apartment building in New York City and watch a bird fly by or see a tree sprouting up from a sidewalk, you know, where it's put below a grate. That can be, as I think nature can penetrate and can reach all of us no matter where we are. You could have a goldfish inside of your apartment if you're holed up. But it is certainly not sustainable. All of us spread out and do what Thoreau does. And the fact that the vast majority of the world's population lives in cities is very, very real. I mean, I'm not going to doubt that. But it still mystifies me why people would do that. I'm not particularly a city person myself.
And what do you think Thoreau would have made of things like the internet and social media?
Well, he was very suspicious of new tools. I mean, in his era, it was the telegraph being strung up along the railroad line, and he made fun of it. You know, like, what would somebody from Texas have to say to someone in Maine? And I think he would be very suspicious about social media. But that's a downside of him. He was really, really suspicious about how I can't remember the quote exactly, but basically he said, we don't want to become the tools of our tools. In other words, if you are slavishly addicted to the internet in all possible ways, then your tool is enslaving you rather than using it. So I think that even though he was cautious, he did embrace technology and appreciated it, but he didn't want to just go whole hog inside of it.
Now, on a more personal note, does studying geology give you a somewhat more detached perspective on things like a global pandemic?
Yes, it does. It certainly does. The, I mean, historians will look back to past epidemics, for example, the Black Death, the plague, and so forth. And I remember in my own life, going back to the mid to late 50s, polio was something that we children were very concerned about. Not that we understood it, because our parents were freaking out and people were closing down, you know, swimming pools and public activities. So I have this vague recollection from my own childhood. But beyond that, geology is so old. The planet is 4.6 billion years old. And there's been all kinds of changes that radically transform the planet if you view the long haul. And there are, of course, periodic extinctions that basically cause a significant turnover in what kinds of life we have. So when you spend decades just thinking about those things, you know, the transient 2-week-long, month-long, you know, several months-long, perhaps even a year-long pandemic does fade in some significance without discounting the pain that it's causing right now.
All right. We've been speaking with Professor of Geology and Henry David Thoreau Scholar, Robert Thor Thorson. Thorson's 2018 book, The Guide to Walden Pond, is available from Houghton Mifflin Harcourt Press. Thank you so much for joining us on the 8 o'clock buzz.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye. And stay healthy.